Still like this time of year, you know, my walk to and from the train every day, it still smells and feels and looks a little like autumn. The leaves are on the ground. It still's got that little musty smell, you know.
Yeah, and it's funny because I got on my car today. I'm like, oh, it's warmer than I thought, and that's, I exactly know what you mean, that musty smell.
It kind of smelled like a wet dog, though, because the leaves are, like, molded.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't like those leaves smell.
I'm taking everything I can get. A 40-degree day, a little damp, and some leaves on the ground, and I'm happy about that. We dropped another podcast on you, the Mincing Rascals podcast. It was judged this year to be the best podcast in the city. We want you to be part of the Mincing Rascals, by the way. You can record a voice message and just email it to producer Elif. The details are there, but we're answering your questions on the Mincing Rascals. One note about podcasts, by the way. And by the way, the Mincing Rascals, free wherever you get podcasts. And we also post it on my Facebook page. And at WGNradio.com, you can listen to it there. I went to Lou Manfredini's son's podcast last night, Steve.
Yeah?
Deep Dish Sports Talk. They did a remote podcast recording at the Malnati's on the Gold Coast on State Street. And the place was packed.
No kidding. Outstanding.
Like, you've got to be kidding me. I've got top journalists in the city. We're the best, like, you know, an organization said that's the best podcast in the city of Chicago, and the Manfredini kid walks in there and fills the joint. So I'm not bitter about it. I mean, I'm really happy for him. If you want to listen to some smart kids talk about sports in Chicago, Deep Dish Sports Talk. Well done, guys. Listen to this headline in the Tribune today. Oh, by the way, so our conversation, we're doing it after 2. I said after 1:30, we're doing it after 2. The conversation about your guy. A woman called in, spoke to Elif right away. She says, I got a guy, got us a diamond.
Well, that's exactly how I got my diamond. Because when there was more of a jeweler's row, that was it.
You just say, hey, what do you got?
I got a guy.
Hey, you look like you could use about a carat and a quarter. What do you need?
Now, this is clarity here. You got your 3 C's.
Hey, kid.
Clarity. I know cash is one of them.
Come back for more.
Right. Come back and bring your cousin. Right. My cousin Vinny got me set up with some nice rocks. So we'll do that after 2 o'clock. Your guy stories, please. Look at this story in the Chicago Tribune today. Wisconsin offered Foxconn more than 3 states combined. I'll finish that headline. Wisconsin offered Foxconn more than 3 states combined offered Amazon. Everybody was giving the store to Amazon, New York, you know, Illinois would have, for God's sakes, New Jersey, Virginia. And Wisconsin gave them that and then 3 times that to get that Foxconn plant.
Did they change the name of the state to Foxconson?
If you read a little bit about this, they say they weren't so foxy because they're saying, guys, you overpaid. And, you know, as much news is being made about what everybody was throwing at HQ2, and remember the Sun-Times editorialized yesterday that if we didn't get it because we didn't give enough, fine, because they're holding us up. And that's the thing that bugs me about the HQ2 thing or Foxconn or any of them. It's very much like the way NFL owners treat cities. If you don't build me a billion-dollar stadium, I'll go to Las Vegas or Los Angeles. We'll move the team. And then they say, oh, God, but we got to have the Colts. Okay, we'll give you a stadium. And then these billionaires who make billions of dollars off the teams get billion-dollar stadiums for almost nothing. And that's because they got a gun to your head. And it's the same way with this Bezos guy and Amazon. And so in the New York Times, they talk about helipads and everything else that Amazon is getting out of its deals with New York and Virginia. And it includes cash back. They say, for every guy you hire, we'll give you $25,000, $40,000, $50,000. How is that not like corporate welfare? How is that not like saying, okay, everybody, let's help these poor guys out? That's a social program for these companies. And I know the other side of the coin is that, well, in the long run, it'll pay for itself. They quoted a guy in this story in the New York Times. His name is John Boyd, and he is a corporate site selection expert at the Boyd Company. Hey, John, you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you today?
John, it's great to be with you. I'm in Fort Lauderdale International Airport right now, so if you hear any announcements, It's that's what you hear.
You sound great right now. I appreciate it. You got a few minutes for us, right?
Thanks for having me.
Now, what do you think of what you've heard me say so far? You've already sensed my outrage that we give these guys the store.
I think you hit the nail on the head. There's no question that incentives have become very contentious. The public and lawmakers are very weary about giving these huge subsidies to big companies like Amazon. The term that we use is necessary evil. And incentives for high-cost states like Chicago, high-cost markets like Chicago and New York, really are just part of a necessary part of their overall industry recruitment program.
Shouldn't they be paying more in taxes? I mean, really, I know that they have a fiduciary obligation to their investors, but if I was an investor in Amazon, I think I would feel good if I knew that they were helping to pay some of the taxes in my state.
Look, and the argument here is that the 25,000 high-paying jobs and incentives in the package that to potentially have even more than 25,000 jobs, you know, there's some greater economic development multiplier effects that Amazon would argue services the communities where they get these incentives. The other part of all of this is that a lot of these packages include more than just hiring tax credits and tax exemptions. A lot of these packages include infrastructure investments and workforce training programs, and one could argue that those are investments that serve a public good, and it helps small businesses, and it often can promote some entrepreneurial activity. Now, so to push back on that argument somewhat, I would offer that. Then I'd even say this. I'd say, look, it's completely appropriate to have a discussion about the appropriateness of incentives, but first lawmakers need to do the heavy lifting and improve their business climates and fix the pension crisis and make government less costly where businesses don't need these enormous incentive packages to justify an address in a high-cost location like a Chicago or a Boston or a New York City.
You think that's why Illinois didn't get it, because of our pension crisis and the way our government is so screwed up?
Clearly, there's some state business climate issues that need to be addressed in Illinois. But I think this project was so unique. It was really a talent-driven and transportation-driven. Under those quotients, Chicago shows extremely well. I think ultimately this company wanted to be in Northern Virginia. I think from the outset that was the most likely strongest candidate. As they got into the process, they realized that 50,000 workers in that market is just unrealistic. The surprise was not to do two headquarters. The surprise was how late in the process Amazon announced they were going to do the two headquarters. I mean, the dominant theme in the economy over the past year has been how tight the labor market is. Okay, so 50,000 jobs in one market always would have been a very difficult scenario.
So two markets maybe make sense, but Illinois obviously is not one of them. Do you think that, so these headlines list things like helipads, which is going to be a problem in Virginia because they have some places where it's only for military or police purposes near the Capitol. But the headlines are just how much New York gave up. Do you think New York gave up too much to get HQ2 a couple billion dollars?
I was actually surprised at how modest that package was in context of what we know other states offered. Pennsylvania offered nearly $5 billion of incentives. Newark, New Jersey, just across the Hudson River, offered $7 billion of incentives. Maryland offered nearly $9 billion of incentives. So I actually was surprised at how low that number was, especially when you started seeing Andrew Cuomo emerge right before the announcements and, fashion himself Amazon Cuomo. I mean, you almost expected him to come out and talk about this enormous incentive package that he put together. Look, that number is pretty reasonable when you put it in the context of what other high-cost states offered Amazon.
What do you think of the Foxconn deal that Wisconsin gave?
That was a real trophy project. Easy to see how lawmakers could momentum builds for these projects and these enormous packages. But look, keep in mind, that was really one of the first examples of reshoring, of an Asian company investing, hiring thousands of workers here in the U.S. Donald Trump made the announcement in the Rose Garden. You think that Paul Ryan was intimately involved in that process. He had his fingerprints in the courting of Amazon, I'm sorry, of Foxconn. You know, at the end of the day, the big part of Scott Walker's legacy will be beating states like Georgia and the Carolinas for that Foxconn plant.
Says here,
and look, the fallout over incentives, you know, I guess we have to walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah. I don't know what you mean by that.
I mean, I just, you know, there's always going to be a backlash associated with these high-profile relocations when big incentive dollars are part of the process.
Sure, sure, sure. Well,
Amazon's facing it now. I mean, the backlash is real. And that's why I think you're going to see Amazon take steps focused on improving its social impact. Because Amazon's a company that needs to build goodwill among lawmakers and the public. It's facing antitrust issues. It's operating in highly regulated industries like multimedia and healthcare.
Well, what do you mean by social good? What do you mean by social good? How does Amazon do that?
Just investing in poorer areas. That's why 5 weeks ago, if you were to tell me that one of the two locations for the headquarters was going to be in the New York City metro area, I would have assumed it would have been Newark, given the big incentive package and the idea that Newark is the poorest and the most diverse of the 20 finalists. And it offers essentially all of the same talent and transportation assets for a fraction of the price of actually being in the Big Apple. I think perhaps they missed an opportunity there to kind of mitigate some of these concerns. I think Newark would have been a wiser choice, quite frankly.
Is that actually part of their calculus? They say, okay, we're going to go. We got all of these. We could be in Peoria. We could be in Newark. We could be in Chicago. We'll be in Newark, whatever. But, boy, would it look good, and would it help that community? Would it help that state if instead of putting it in ritzy New York or Northern Virginia, we put it in Peoria, or we put it, as you said, in Newark? Do they actually think about that?
They do, and this is a new and emerging site selection driver for corporate headquarter projects. We know that 75% of institutional investors now look at a company's just business practices, and one of the ways a company can improve that score is by investing in things like diversity programs, reentry programs, putting brick and mortar facilities in poor locales. And this is going to be an issue in a post Amazon HQ2, HQ3 world. You're going to hear that be a recruiting tool for urban areas like Chicago and Newark and Philadelphia and their attraction programs to attract companies like Google and Apple and Facebook.
Well, I feel like suckers. I feel like all the states are suckers. I feel like all the cities, the court NFL teams are suckers. And you got no choice. You've got to play the game or they'll go somewhere else. So these very profitable companies with these billionaire owners, in my mind, are not paying their fair share of taxes. And that's annoying, John.
I share that sentiment. I see it. And I see it around the country. We have clients all throughout North America. And they're all telling us just how difficult it is to negotiate these packages today without, you know, damaging goodwill among their consumers and among lawmakers that ultimately are tasked with regulating them.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I heard some talk in the background there, John. Do you got to get on your plane right now?
I have a couple of minutes, John.
Okay. Well, I have one more question for you. I'm going to pause and come back if you can. But the question is, so you said that these, you know, legislators need to manage this, and they have to have a spine if they think it's good for their city or state because they know they're going to be criticized. So does the math work? Is this actually going to be a good deal for New York or Virginia? Is it going to be a good deal for Wisconsin? I mean, yeah, you're going to take heat for it, but in the long run, we'll benefit, right? Answer that question in a minute. We're talking about the deal that Foxconn got out of Wisconsin. Story in the Tribune today says, wow, take what New York and Virginia gave up, multiply it by three, and that's what Wisconsin gave to Foxconn. Sun-Times yesterday said, we don't want deals like that down here. We reached out to a guy who's a site selection expert at the Boyd Company, John Boyd. Does the math work then, John? That's my last question for you. I mean, maybe these smell bad, but if in the long run they work, should we be doing this?
Look, a lot of academics have come forth with studies in the wake of the Amazon announcement and did the calculations and argued that this is a net negative, okay, for Virginia and for New York based upon the size of these packages. I take a different approach. I think for high-cost markets, incentives are a necessary evil. And until politicians do the heavy lifting by making government less costly, by fixing pensions, by cutting taxes, incentives are really necessary. That's how I would answer that. Look, and above and beyond the jobs created, the idea of having a trophy employer like an Amazon that's engaged in industries like healthcare and multimedia and fashion, in addition to the traditional e-commerce, that brings all sorts of other benefits, economic benefits, and promotes small business activity in local markets, and actually can even help promote some entrepreneurial activity as well.
John Boyd from theboydcompany.com. Hey, John, you're good. I'm going to call you again another day. I appreciate your expertise today.
Thanks, John. It's great to be with you.
Likewise. Safe travels.